Welcome to Demo Mirror. I am your guest host for the day, Anthony Vecchi. I'm here interviewing Matthew Giacola, creator of Demo Mirror, and I'd like to welcome him into my girlfriend's kitchen, where we are right now eating Dunkin' Donuts Munchkins. So hey, Matt, how are you?
Very good.
That's good, that's good. Well, I'm glad we have the chance to talk today, and turn the microphone around and point it at you. So I wanted to start talking about the song. The name of the song is Baby Sweetheart / It's All Right. Mm-hmm. And what I'm interested in talking about first is your actual process of demoing songs. I know that you have a pretty nuanced method of going about how you catalog and record all of your music. And I didn't know if you wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. This song, well, okay, I'll start. 2009 is what we're at the tail end of right now as we're interviewing. So the beginning of 2009, my New Year's resolution, I had a few, but the main one that I wanted to make sure I did was to write a song a day. And before at the end of 2008, I was like pumping up for it. I was like writing a lot. And it just became crazy to keep track of everything. So I was like, before January 1st, I have to figure out how I'm going to catalog these, or else it's just going to be it's going to blow my mind at the end of the year. I won't know what to do. So I have like this numbering system where it's like song number 001 would be like the first song I wrote on January 1st. But sometimes I'll write more than one song a day. So that's why I have that. I would just do a date if I was doing a song a day. But sometimes I'll write more than one. And so there's that. This song, I believe the catalog number on this song was 037. So it was around there. So I think it was the 37th song I wrote in 2009. And
so does that put us around February?
I think so. I had some dry spells where I didn't achieve the goal of writing a song a day. Ultimately, I had a bunch of dry spells where I felt I was too busy or too worn out to do them, because it's kind of a big undertaking to do a song a day. But yeah, I would say it's around February or so.
So the catalog system, it helped you.
It helps me. It helps me feel a little more accomplished. And it helps me feel more organized. I'll probably continue with that.
You are going to have to change the numbering system?
Yeah, I am. I have to think about that. We'll see how it goes. I think I might just do like a 10 in front of everything and then continue the numbering system.
So you number the songs. Do you do any, do you write down the lyrics? Do you have other data collection on?
I have a sheet. I have a book. I have a sheet made out with like fill in the blanks. So actually I have it with me right here. I'll read everybody off what it says on the sheet.
Okay, for this song?
Oh, actually, yeah. I can pull up this song.
So you have a sheet for every song that you catalog. Is it the date and time and all, like?
Yeah, okay, here it is. Yep, 037, I was right. Tuesday. Oh, no. I had a dry spell, like, early in the year. This is in April.
Okay.
This is April 14th. Tuesday, April 14th, 2009. So there's date, time. I didn't put the time. Song code is 037. And then tentative song title, I don't have one. And then I have these questions about my mood. I have, what is my mood? I have I had enough sleep? I put a question mark next to that. Have I eaten? Yes, is circled. Have I meditated? No, is circled. And then it's recorded on an 8-track disc named 037/039. And then I have journal comments notes here. And it says here, punk, it says punk, parentheses, riff, end parentheses. I don't really know what that means. And then it has like verse, and then I list the chords I use in the verse, pre-chorus, I list the chords I use in the pre-chorus, chorus, and then I tacked on an outro to the end, so there's the chords for that. And then the only other thing I have is some like rough lyrics, which is, I think, what you hear in the song, but there's this updated version. It says stuff about, and you've been playing a big part of rearranging my life. It's all right. It's all right. And then another chocolate year ?
And that, did that make a chocolate year? Did it make it in, or
it, I think it might've been an afterthought. So
I like that. It's nice. So you have all that for basically every song you've done since you started doing it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's too bad you don't have it on a computer so you can make graphs and analyze the data and figure out the best time to write a song.
Right.
So the mood, sleep, eat, meditation, all those things play a big factor in.
Yep.
That's amazing. It'd be interesting to look back and see, you know, what came out when you didn't eat and didn't sleep or something, or
yeah,
you know, different combinations.
I think in asking those questions, I do want to do that at some point. I think that was my thought when I first did that. So
it's valuable data, you know. Mm-hmm. If they're ever going to make a songwriting cyborg or something,
they could
feed that into it. That's awesome. Okay. So, in terms of when you go to record something, so you have all this down, you write down all this data and you set out to do it. And is it, you know, we're talking about demos here, so we know it's not going to be the final finished product. And when you go and you're singing and you're playing, are you in a more reserved mindset where you're just trying to get things out? Are you actually, you know, putting when you go to record something for an album, you put everything you have into it. And when you do this, do you feel like you ever hold back a little bit, or are you still striving to get that degree of passion out and in the song?
I generally have just tried to get in, just for me in this year, getting a rough sketch out is the ideal situation, because if I wanted to get like a amazing take of absolutely everything, it would turn into a full-time job, because it takes me long enough just to do a song a day anyway. So that's my main goal, is to get a pretty good rough sketch out. I've been using like the electronic drums, like the corny electronic drums you hear on this one. I use those a lot just to like set it up. And I try to get that and the main chord progressions down as well as I can. But then after that, like the lyrics, the verses in this song are complete, just off the cuff bullshit lyrics. Like I just mumble most of the time, as you can probably hear. The chorus is like, I know when I was writing this one, especially, I was like, this is corny. I'm not going to keep these lyrics at all. I'm going to rewrite this later. So that's my goal. I sort of like it now because I've listened to it a few times, but I think the goal is to change all the lyrics, but the melodies are there and that sort of thing. So that's what I try to get out with the initial demo.
Do you actually end up changing those things later on?
It's funny. Usually I don't, because I get so used to the demo versions and I grow like fond of them, and I usually just accept it for what it is, and I will tweak them. Like, there's some stuff in here that's just like, it's literally mumbling, so those I'll obviously have to like get some words out. But
no, when I was listening to it, I was trying really hard to get the lyrics, and I guess some of it was mumbling, but mm-hmm. that's cool though. I mean, like you said, the idea is to get the idea out. Mm-hmm. So I know, like, I always have a hard time showing people things because I'm like, oh boy, it's just not right at this part, but it's good to be able to shuffle that away and be like, nope, got to get the song out, mm-hmm. gotta get on to the next thing. So that's awesome. And it's very admirable, the regiment. So, you know, like, you work, how many hours a week do you work when you were doing this? 40 hours a week, 60 hours a week?
Yeah, I work full time somewhere, and then I work part time somewhere. So I average like 50 to 60 hours a week.
So you come home and you're probably tired, and mm-hmm. do you just say to yourself, time to do it, got to do it?
Yeah. That's why I had the lag here. Like, that's why this song wasn't written until April, because I was probably still getting used to all the stuff in the new year and like working out time. So you definitely have to, that's another thing. Like, I can't, sometimes I'll just get a bullshit idea. I'll just be like, this is going to be really stupid. I don't care. I'm just going to do it just to get something out. And sometimes I do that and there's like, I could have no expectations and something amazing comes out. So it's good to just sit down and do it every single day, because you never know what's going to happen with it. It's completely up in the air. I could be in the most foul mood ever, like have absolutely no faith in myself, tired, whatever. I'll sit down and something amazing will come out and it'll be like completely worth it. So
that is inspirational, really, is to hear that. You know, that's how greatness is achieved, and forcing yourself, I guess, just to do it. That's awesome. So with this one, specifically this song, Baby Sweetheart, and that's just a brain dump from you. It's not, there's no meaning from it. It's just
not
the
really
person that popped out.
No, a lot of the lyrics that I usually come up with are pretty automatic, whatever words. And a lot of them, like these 2009 songs, just about every single song, I would say there are a few exceptions. Almost every single song has like the word love in it, or like title has something to do with love, and it's just like a go-to thing. Like songs are love songs. I don't know. Sure. That's just a go-to thing, and I don't always like think about what I'm saying. Sometimes it makes sense after the fact, and sometimes it never makes sense, but it's generally pretty automatic, especially with this one. I just, like I said before, I was just sort of singing to get the melody out and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's almost when you go to write a song, or when you're writing songs and words like love or baby, it's almost like, I play the guitar, I use all these strings, I write songs, I say love and baby, just it's part of singing and writing,
right?
Almost. It's just, you know, every song has that in it, so mm-hmm. that's the way I rationalize it when I try to make myself feel bad about saying love every other word.
But, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, the song sounds, you know, it's not like it's boring or takes away from it, so.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, you know, intentionally, that's what you're going for with a lot of the stuff you've been putting out, is that you're not trying and, you know, some sort of experimental thing with a lot of these songs. It's more centered around perfecting the art of a beautiful song. But am I right when I say that?
Yeah, I came basically when all of the songs I've been writing or I wrote, especially in this year, I sit down and I don't really have expectations for them, but I would like them all to be binar songs specifically. And what we started out with the mindset for our stuff is like, or at least for me in songwriting right now, is there's so much in those like perfect songs, and I came from a band that was completely not about this, completely like, we are the band's like mantra was there's no repeating parts. My band Lights, that was before this, so we would literally play a part maybe four times, move on, we would never come back to it, and every single song was like that. And it's liberating to do that, but after a while, I mean, you want to rebel against that. And for me, rebelling against that was take, like, I just listen to these amazing songs, like the early 50s songs that like Carole King wrote are the most perfect songs, like, or like a song like Be My Baby or like that with Phil Spector or something like that. Those are the most emotionally evocative songs for me. Like, I'll hear them. They just really, like, they do something to me, and it's something that experimental music does not do for me, and it's just something about it. Somebody had it right back then, that all of these feelings can come from this structure, these sounds, and it's hard to get that in, like, an experimental forum where you're just sort of journeying, maybe aimlessly, just searching for something. When you have, like, your song structure, you can... It's just, it's so perfect. There's so many things you can do with it. People love it. It's, I don't know, it's just the way to do it for me right now. So
no, that makes a lot of, especially, you know, Be My Baby is gonna, it makes your heart swell, and, you know, just something, right, that, you know, some other song by whoever would necessarily accomplish. Who else is influencing you with this? You said Phil Spector. And
well, the Beatles are, like, a huge influence, but more so, like, the early Beatles stuff where they were not, they were just, it just seems so perfect. You know, like, their early stuff is, like, these perfect little pop songs, and, I mean, they were, like, completely influenced by Carole King and that sort of thing, and it's just all of those types of songs where it's, like, 2 minutes, maybe 2 minutes, 30 seconds, like, verse, chorus, maybe not even, maybe it's, like, verse, bridge, done. Like, there's so many songs that are like that are so amazing. So, a lot of that old sort of, like, or I would say 50s, early 60s, like, the pop music is a huge influence on me. And the stuff, like, nowadays, or, like, I don't know, there's just so much, like, experimental bullshit out there, and I don't have the tolerance for it. I just don't care about it. It doesn't resonate with me, so...
So a song like this one is inspired by the people you just talked about, is a homage in a sense, but you're throwing in new tricks, you're throwing in your own style. Is that?
I would say so. Yeah, I would say so. I fear becoming too derivative of them sometimes, but I have faith that everybody's own style will come out when they do something like that ultimately. So I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah. So sometimes I feel like, you know, people express the idea that it's all been done, and maybe it has all been done, but you can go back, you know, and you can take the time period you're talking about, and that becomes the medium of your work, and you do new things with that medium. Is that sort of like...
I would say so. I mean so many things have been done, and I mean you could talk for hours and hours about that mentality, but I don't know, it's just what feels right for you. Like I was saying, just those songs really resonate with me, that style of writing. So I just feel like that's the way for me right now. Yeah. That's the way to go. So
it's flooding out from you. So it definitely is the right direction. So with this song specifically, the main riff, do you remember where you got that, where that, when it came to you or anything like that?
The main riff, it's funny because who I'm in the binars with, and I have talked about this song because I give them all my demos. I give them, like, CDs. I feel bad for them. I give them a 28-track CD, and I say, tell me your favorite songs. And that happens very frequently, so they're constantly being barraged with my stupid demos, which some of them are completely dumb. But with this one, we felt it could work for the binaries. So we were talking about it, and the main riff is the focal point for me. It was, like, the starting point. And when I told Ben that, he said, it sounds completely out of place, and it makes no sense in context with the song. Maybe we should pull it out. And I tended to agree with him. And so we started working on it like that. And I think we quickly realized it's not quite a binary song. It's a little off the beaten path of where we're going. So I don't think we're going to use it for a binary song. But yeah, the main riff, it just came out. I was just sitting down trying to write something. The main riff came out. And then I was like, okay, I have a main riff. Now what am I going to do with it? And I went where the song goes with it. And it was basically written in that progression, you know, riff, verse, chorus. And the ending was tacked on at the end, sort of because I kept screwing it up. But
so there comes that point where the song dips down and you think it's going to end, and that is that where it initially was going to end, and you felt like you had to come back up again?
Sort of. The ending there is actually like a second idea of a chorus melody. Like, my thought was, oh, I'll just hack this on the end so I don't forget it. But it sort of works as a good outro. And so if I ever did do anything more than just demo this song, I would use it as an outro. But originally that outro was supposed to be behind the chorus. It's just a slightly different melody, same words, but...
Okay, so it's just a note on the end for yourself, basically. Yep. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I would have never known that unless we talked about it. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was part of the song, so
yeah.
That's pretty cool. And so with this one, you have the click track on there. And is that on the recorder, or is that from something, a drum machine, or what do you have for that?
Yeah, I have, we're actually recording into it right now. It's a Boss BR-8. It was like from, I don't know, early 2000s maybe. I don't know. It's like an 8-track recorder. It's just like slightly monolithic by this taste standards, but it's like this black box and it's an 8-track recorder, and I've used it, and our friend Andy Simzik used it. That's where I heard of it first, and it's just pretty user-friendly and easy, and it has a bunch of beats programmed into it, which are like mostly corny, but I use them anyways. So that's one of the that's the beat you hear in this song. It's one of those beats.
So using the beat, is that something that you've just started doing with this series of demoing songs, is going to a click track, a beat, is that new for you?
Yeah, sometimes the click track will help me, because as I was saying with the like the more experimental mindset, it's so easy to go off a 4/4 time and you just sort of stop and you wander and you do all these weird things, and then maybe you come back, maybe you don't. I felt like this kept me more, okay, this is the path we need to follow. And so sometimes I'll just like, I won't have any idea and I'll just put the click track on and something will come to me. So it's been sort of inspirational, even though it sounds like really stupid. It's just like a really basic like 4/4 beat or whatever. There's like these weird electro house ones too that are like really corny, but I don't know, they're inspirational sometimes too. So
yeah, I personally just started using click tracks myself just for demoing purposes, and it's awesome. I can't believe I haven't been doing it forever. It's just,
yeah,
it's amazing.
The other thing with that is it came from like a Binars discussion we had too, because with our recording we have been doing everything to a click track because we're trying to be as methodical as possible with everything, and our drummer Mike is very like, he stands behind that, and he even thinks maybe eventually we should practice to a click track, because really when you're practicing, you're trying to get things tight, whatever, you have no reference point as to, am I speeding this up too much? Am I playing it too slow? You don't know. Like, you have an intuitive feeling, but you don't know for sure. Like, depending on everybody's mood or the mood in the room, you could be way off your mark, you know? So sometimes the click track helps with that stuff. So
yeah, it's kind of like the intuition is what you will have to go on, you know, when you play live or whatever. And training the intuition is important. Definitely. It's an important thing to do, and something I just started doing myself. So it's good to see other people doing it. And when you guys play live, you know, it's super tight. So it's not, definitely shows. Okay. So two more things about this song, the organ that you have in there, what is it? Which one is it?
The organ is like this, a Yamaha something. It's from the 80s. My cousin had it. It was actually the first instrument I ever owned, I think. First, like, real instrument. My cousin used to let me play it in his, like, bedroom. He was, like 16 or something when I was, like, 5. So I thought it was, like, really cool. And he used to, like, show me little things on the keyboard. And it came time for him to, because that thing's a piece of crap, you know? So came time for him to get, like, a good keyboard. And so when he got a new keyboard, he gave that one to me. And I never, ever used it, ever. I used it in, like, high school on, like, one demo before. And other than that, Ben used to use it, my friend Ben, in lights sometimes. And I think he took it, and maybe you guys were using it in Tony Bear at some point, or he used it in something at some point. And I think somebody else had it for a while, and it finally came home to me about a year ago, and I started using it sporadically. This is like one of the only demos I used it on, but I mean, It's like a corny sounding organ. I think it's I wanted a keyboard part in there, and it's the only keyboard I had. So
it's funny, like how I was talking about it. How things, if they come into your possession, you tend to use them. Or you know, if it wasn't there, it wouldn't have been on the song. It's just funny. Like you weren't like seeking out to have this specific instrument. You just happened to be there. So that's cool. And the other thing I want to talk about was you have like your main vocal track, and then you have your melodies on top of it and the backup vocals. And is that stuff that you kind of just like came up with on the spot, or were they thought out beforehand when you heard the song in your head? Specifically, like there's the parts on the chorus and the bridge where there's two weaving lines. Is that something that you kind of came up with on the spot, or how did you come about that?
I can't remember specifically with this song. I would say my guess for most of this song was pretty off the cuff, pretty much like that. There's some thought that goes into it, like a very general idea of what I'm going to do, but I'm getting to the point now where I can just sort of, I don't have to do the harmonies or anything like that before I sing with it. I can just sort of hear it once and then I can sing the harmony with it, which is nice because I never used to be able to do that. But in singing and demoing more, I've taught myself to do that, so that's the story with those, probably.
No, it's a really tight recording, and you know, masterful in that if it's a sketch, but it's a very, very precise sketch. So that's cool. It's cool that you can do that.
Thank you.
Well, in terms of the song, is there anything else you wanted to talk about? You know,
no, not really. I think we covered a lot of ground with it, so.
All right, well, great. This has been a great conversation, and thank you for letting me be the guest interviewer on Demo Mirror. We'll see you all next time.